Psalm 63, and I'll begin at verse 1. O God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. So I have looked for you in the sanctuary, to see your power and your glory. Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you. Thus I will bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips. When I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches, because you have been my help. Therefore, in the shadow of your wings, I will rejoice. My soul follows close behind you. Your right hand upholds me. Heavenly Father, we pray that as we begin a new year, that we might begin it with you and take the time each day to mull over what you're saying to us as we read your word and as we study and long to know you better. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
And from my house to your house, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. It's in a timely short devotional article. And when I was in the Philippines, before each breakfast, and one of the missionaries would read a devotional article to all the missionaries together before we eat. So and have fellowship. So since we eat every day, when we eat, we can not only take our physical food. That's what I do when I eat my breakfast. I'll be reading our daily bread or God's word. And lunchtime, I can use that as well. And of course, dinner we'll spend with our family after work. So that's what I did even before I went to seminary. I take those lunch breaks to read God's word and eat the physical food that will nourish my physical body. Okay, so we can do that. And I would like to sing a praise song together. It is All I Once Held Dear, or Knowing You. It is based on the passage, Philippians chapter 3, mainly the two verses. But whatever, maybe you can open your Bible to Philippians chapter 3, verse 7 to verse 8. And then we'll sing this song together meditatively. When we sing, we think about how we can know Christ more this year. Philippians chapter 3, verse 7 and 8. After this series, I will also spend some time to help us to memorize the names of the books in the Bible in the right order, right spelling, and also the themes of each book. So it will help us to benefit from all scriptures in the Bible. Okay, maybe George, you can read it to us. Philippians chapter 3, verse 7 to 8.
But whatever was to my profit, I know considered loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything I lost compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him.
Okay, that's good. By the way, your English is very good, but usually we pronounce C-H-R-I-S-T, Christ.
Christ.
Yeah.
No, Christ.
Yeah, Christ. Mm-hmm. And for whose sake, okay? In verse 8. Okay. So that's what my wife does to me when I mispronounce some word, she'll correct me. And I correct her Mandarin. Okay, so that we can improve. Okay, so let's sing this song together with a worshipful heart. Think about how we can know Christ experientially this year more, so that when we look back, our relationship with Christ should have grown, should have improved next year. Right.
knowing you, Jesus, knowing you.
This is a very biblical song. Almost all the lyrics were based on the passage, Philippians chapter 3, verse 7, and onward. So it really reminds us what is the most important thing in our lives, in God's eyes. And Paul experienced that. He grasped that, although he did great things for God, but he cherished the relationship with Christ and knowing Christ on a deeper level, experientially, including Christ's suffering, Christ's death, Christ, the power of Christ's resurrection, and that could also be manifested in his life, because he felt if he could also experience the sufferings that Christ experienced, he will understand Christ on a deeper level. That's why we talk about suffering, because in suffering, we can learn more about Christ, what Christ went through, and then we'll hold on to our God and Christ more. And we'll understand another thing that Jesus Christ went through, and as a result, we'll experience Him on a deeper level. Even death, death, of course, not necessarily physically death, will die, because after we have died, we'll see Christ. But that death to sin, that every day, as Chris also mentioned, that we should seek to live a holy life, to die to sin every day. So, death to sin every day. And even the power of resurrection to death to sin, and also have the power to overcome the power of sin in our lives. If we examine our lives every day with God's standard, we'll see that we still fall short of God's standard, even as a Christian. Either with our mind, our heart's desires, or with what we say with our mouth, hands and feet, we cannot measure up to God's standard. We are righteous because Jesus died for our sins and rose from the dead. Not in our own, that is this righteousness or that perfection that we cannot achieve by our own power. So we need to continue to know Christ and rely on Him. Okay? So I also like to need you to read from Psalm 119 verses 1 to 8. This is a very special psalm. Okay? You have to know this psalm. Who has read this psalm before and know something interesting about this psalm? 119? It's a very long psalm, but there's a reason why it's long, and I can tell you why there are so many verses, and I can tell you exactly why there are this number of verses there. So each time during our lesson, we'll read one passage. Yeah, the voicemail will text the message.
Not someone who's going to call you from reception, right?
Okay, let me just... So, yeah, if you have this passage opened, Psalm chapter 119, verses 1 to 8, yeah, you can read it to us. But before that, let me explain a little bit. How many verses are there in this psalm?
A lot.
Let me ask you, do you see paragraphs in your NIV translation? How many verses are there in each paragraph?
Eight.
And do you see those headers like on top of each paragraph? Do you see those special letters? Do you know what they are?
Hebrew alphabet.
Yes, the Hebrew alphabet. They're in order of the letters in the Hebrew alphabet. If I do not use Hebrew, I use A, B, C, D, E, F, G. Okay? So, and this is a perfectly written psalm or poem. You see that there are 22 paragraphs, okay? Each paragraph, 8 verses. And each 8 verse, okay, will start, the first letter of the first word will start with the same letter of the Hebrew alphabet. If you have that in Hebrew, you see that the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet is Aleph. Okay? Aleph. So the first 8 verses, the first word, the first letter of the first word of each verse of those first 8 verses all start with Aleph. Okay? Each word. So, and then the second paragraph all start with the second letter of the Hebrew alphabet. So what the psalmist was trying to present is this. God's word provides everything that we need. It is perfect. It's from A to Z. It's from the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet to the last letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And it will tell us specifically different aspects of God's word and our response to God's word. So the whole 176, that's 22 times 8, okay, that's 176. It is all about how precious God's word is. So that's why since we are learning how to study God's word, to cherish God's word, that will help us to know Christ more, we would read 8 verses each time to help us to appreciate God's word on a deeper level. All 176 verses talk about the value of God's word in our lives. Okay? So this is probably something new to you, right? And yet it this is one of the psalms that probably is the longest and most meaningful. It reminds us about the value of God's word in our lives. Okay, so put our lesson in right perspective, and we can read it. Whoever has it, we can read it. Maybe each person can read one verse, and then we'll go in turn. I'll start first, and then Chris next. The first verse: blessed are they whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord.
Blessed are they who keep his statutes and seek him with all their heart.
They do nothing wrong. They walk in his ways.
You have commanded your precepts to be kept diligently.
Oh, that my ways were steadfast in obeying your decrees.
Then I would not be put to shame when I consider all your commands.
I will praise you with an upright heart as I learn your righteous law.
I will obey your decrees. Do not utterly forsake me.
Okay, so you see that the whole eight verses, the first eight verses, is about that the blessings of our life come from obedience to God's word. So as we learn to study God's word, ultimately, after we have learned about it, we understood it, we know how it relates to our life and how to apply it to our lives, we need to obey God's word, or otherwise we cannot be blessed by just having had knowledge. Okay, so from verses 1 to 3, it talks about those who walk in wholehearted obedience to God's word, they are blessed. And then, as a result, the psalmist wants to be more obedient to God's word. And the last two verses, he gave thanks as he learned more about God's statutes, knowing what God's word would do and obeying God's word would do to his life. He gives thanks for God's word. Aren't we glad that we have God's word, the Bible, now that we can read, we can understand, and we can also obey. And then what comes from that will be blessings for our lives and others who are around us. Okay, so today we'll just read these eight verses. And today's lesson is mainly helping us to think about the value of God's word and why discovery or inductive Bible study method will be helpful for us to know Christ on a deeper level, to appreciate God's word more, and also to obey God's word more. So it is more like an introduction to the whole series. And I would like to also play a short video clip. It's an interview of one of many people's favorite professors in Dallas Theological Seminary. He is already almost 90 years old. He has taught for, I believe, already 60 years, or more than 60 years. And I also took his class. And before I graduated, he had a cancer in his brain, and he lost an eye after the cancer cells were removed. But he continued to teach with one eye, and he had a strap on. You also see a photo of that. And his life and his teaching impacted many people. And he often had very succinct and also memorable phrases to remind us about the importance of God's word. And he will mention one here, okay, and share some of his heartfelt feelings about the value of teaching God's word. Okay, the seminary will send interviews of some of the
empty Bibles always lead to dirty lies. The only option confronting a believer is that you are either in the Word and the Word is conforming you to the image of Jesus Christ, or you are in the world and the world is squeezing you into its mold.
My video email to you today is special. I want to bring you an update on a dear, dear friend, a respected colleague, a man whose life has touched all of us, and one whom God has used to shape the ministries of thousands around the world. You will undoubtedly recognize his voice. His mannerisms have even been imitated as flattery by those who have been forever infected by his straightforward and humorous style of Bible teaching. As a result of over 5 decades of influence through his passions for creativity, communication, and character, Dr. Howard Hendricks has come to be known affectionately as the Prof. He is now in his 57th year as professor and chairman of the Howard G. Hendricks Center for Christian Leadership. Only eternity will reveal the real legacy of his faithful service to our Lord and to our seminary.
I'm just starting my 57th year of teaching here. It's absolutely an incredible experience. The seminary may not want me, but as long as I live and as long as God gives me strength, I'm available. I would say the theme of Dallas Seminary is preach the word. And that's what I've tried to do, to equip students to do what God has called us to do and we have embraced as a challenge here at Dallas Seminary. What excites me the most about teaching is that it has a long fuse. I am now teaching students who are the sons and daughters of people who were in my class years ago. There's a reproductiveness to it. My prayer for Dallas Theological Seminary is that he will keep it on the target. So I pray every day that God will keep us faithful to his truth, faithful to what he's called us to do, and committed totally to that objective. Well, what a delight it has been to share some of the things on my heart with each of you, and you need to know I make intercessory investments for you on a regular basis, and pray that God will use you beyond your greatest expectation, but always for his honor and his glory.
Every time I hear the unwavering voice of Dr. Howard Hendricks, my heart continues to be moved. Doesn't yours? I need to tell you, the words are too inadequate to share with you my love and appreciation for what Prof means to me. We here at DTS are so blessed to have professors of like caliber in our classroom, and we thank God regularly for his continuing grace in providing us with well-qualified faculty who teach our students the Word of God and help equip them for ministry. I hope the words of Prof are an encouragement to you today. It's my prayer that you along with us will stay committed to the teachings of our Lord. Loyal DTS family members like you are what makes Dallas Seminary what it is today. Will you join me in following the lead of Prof. Hendricks? Thank you for watching and listening.
Is he still full-time?
I think so. Yeah. I think he's still teaching full-time. Just like Dr. Pentecost, who is probably 95 years old. They're teaching with power, okay? So it's a blessing that God has used these godly servant leaders and teachers in the seminary and that who have built many generations of, servant leaders for the church. And I'm one of those who benefit from their teaching. And I took his class, and there was a creative presentation on like a passage that I studied, and I also volunteered to go out in front of like about 60 other students, and the prof was there to give comments. And then I used to not feel too comfortable about my English because this is like my fourth language, okay, not my first language. So, but prof after my presentation said, oh, you don't need to apologize for your English. Your English is fine, and that you gave a fabulous presentation, and he really encouraged me and many others to find out that special passion that God has for your life, for God's kingdom, and then let God use you in, with that. So I found out that my passion is God's Word and the lost evangelism, sharing the gospel with people and teaching God's Word. And of course, a secular, hobby is martial art, and then God even has used that for his kingdom. So find out what is it that God has given you. Use that for God, and nothing that God has given you is a waste. Okay, so okay, so that hopefully will also give you some encouragement about the importance and the value of God's Word. Remember the first sentence he mentioned about the Bible? That's very memorable, right? And it's very true. That's the Bible. See, if you put your Bible at home and not read it, and your dust will fall over it, and then I can be sure that you or me or I will be leading a dirty life if we are not in the Word. Okay, so that's why it's so important for us to learn God's Word and to apply God's Word according to God's will. Okay, so let's think more about Bible study method and our spiritual life. I remember there was an occasion back in Baton Rouge. I was in Super Walmart, and sometimes I would start study in McDonald's at Super Walmart and sit there all day long almost, and I had become friends of some of the employees there. And I saw one time a baby in a baby cart, and the mom was pushing the baby to McDonald's, and the mom is going to order some food from McDonald's menu, and the baby was holding to a milk bottle and they're enjoying the milk. So I saw a very interesting image there. And as a result, I thought about that in the human life, I see four main stages, mainly about nourishing the body, about food. The first stage is a crying baby who is hungry, and he doesn't know where is the food. So it will just cry and cry, and then, of course, if the mom or dad is around, food will be provided. Okay. And the second stage is a baby, which I saw. He knew that in the milk bottle there is food that could nourish his body, and then he would grab it and then eat it. So he knows where the food is. Okay. And then the third stage I see is the older kid who not only knows where the food is, but even knows how to make milk for himself when he's hungry. But the fourth stage is a grown-up kid. When he's hungry, he knows how to make food for himself, but he can also feed his crying baby brother, who can only cry when he's hungry. So, but spiritually, how does that relate to our spiritual life? And where do you see yourself at? Spiritually, if there are four stages as a Christian, this is just a question that any one of you feel comfortable to share, you can just share. So how does that relate to our spiritual life? Do you also see maybe four stages in your spiritual life? George?
Yeah, I think I'm a baby with a bottle right now.
Okay, at least you know where the food is, right?
Yeah, I know the food is, but sometimes it's like you need more. Maybe sometimes when you are filled up with the food,
mm-hmm.
I feel like, oh, I don't need more food. But when it's time, when I'm hungry, I will ask for the food. What is related for me is like sometimes when I need help, I will look for somebody that can give me some advice. And that advice, like you provide me and God words that help me living the life to keep going,
mm-hmm.
keep not hungry.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm.
That's, I think that's
okay.
When I grow up, maybe I will know more about the Bible.
Mm-hmm. Then
teach
can
other people.
Wow, then you can open, even go to the fourth stage, okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Very good. How about Jessica? Where do you see yourself at spiritually as a child of God? Stage 1, 2, 3, or 4?
I think I'm mainly on stage 3, but I think there are times where I can be on stage 4.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
If people come ask me, and if I know the answer, I would try to provide them and point to them and say, okay, where in the Bible you can find certain passage,
mm-hmm.
Things that they need.
Okay. Very good. I believe when I ask the question, you have been thinking because you were afraid I'll ask you. but yes, in the interest of time, I will not ask each one of you to share, but I see myself at 2, 3, and 4 at the same time, because I do know where are the good spiritual food, even our daily bread. I read that every day myself. I enjoy taking pure, good spiritual food myself because I also need to be fed. And I also listen to downloaded sermons from Dallas Theological Seminary's chapel service. And I also read the Bible myself. And I know how to use discovery and inductive Bible study method to get the treasure from God's Word that will help me to obey God's Word, okay, according to proper understanding of God's Word. And stage three, I see that not only would I know where the food is, but I can prepare the food myself, as I also mentioned, that I can just have the Bible and I'll be nourished. And I know there some of the good resources that will help me to understand God's Word and prepare good spiritual food for myself instead of always depending on someone else to provide ready-made food. Sometimes that might not be customized to my needs. Okay? But the fourth stage, I do teach people, I do preach God's Word based on the proper way to understand God's Word and that I apply it and I encourage other people to apply. So I'm at 2, 3, and 4. At the same time, I no longer cry when I'm spiritually hungry. When I know there's a hunger there, I know where to get the food, prepare the food, and also I'll share that food with other people. But I encourage all of you to get out of stage one if you feel like, oh, I'm still at stage one. We need both 2, 3, and 4 at the same time. I see that. Because to be able to feed others, we also need to be fed. Okay, so that's my encouragement for you, and maybe let me ask one last question, and then we'll continue this lesson next time. What do you think of Bible study? And is it typically interesting, boring, challenging? So your feeling about Bible study. First, about personal Bible study. Second, about group Bible study. Share with me your feelings, and then stop there and continue next time. Maybe Chris, well, personal Bible study to you. Is it boring? Is it challenging? And also group Bible study.
Personal Bible studies, it's not boring.
Mm-hmm.
I end up with questions about how and why that I don't know the answers to. So. But it's interesting, I just try to read and learn.
Mm-hmm.
Our group Bible study, that we do, I kind of like it because it's more of a free form.
Mm-hmm.
We go by the book, kind of, but a lot of times we'll get off
mm-hmm.
and start talking about other things and explaining. We don't get very far at all
mm-hmm.
on that day, which is fine,
mm-hmm.
But it's interesting because we talk about a lot of different things and
uh-huh.
and we get off on different tangents and it's
mm-hmm.
it doesn't matter,
okay. uh-huh.
as long as we're learning.
Mm.
So
okay.
I like our Bible study.
Okay, so that's good. We have some structure. We have some flexibility.
Yeah, there's some structure because it gives us a starting point, and then
mm-hmm.
Sometimes there's, for a lot of times there's questions in there, and Ray can answer them with Vincent, Jessica. They
mm-hmm.
answer a lot of questions. So.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So it looks like personal Bible study sometimes presents some difficulties when you don't understand, right? Some of the difficult passages or verses. Okay.
Yeah.
How about for you, George?
For me personally, I've been to the church for many times in different cities. Even in Panama, so I've been to church.
Mm-hmm.
But in that time, I was like not into it, and I was bored. Like seeing a big book and a lot of letters. Now, the more I know that people are believing in Christ, Jesus Christ,
mm-hmm.
the know why these people are believing or go to church. So I, sometimes I just question myself, they read all these things in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
So now I came out here in the United States, and I met many friends that they they're Christians.
Mm-hmm.
And they always study from the Bible, and I just can't understand it.
Mm.
Now I feel I have different mentality. I feel like it's more challenging rather than boring.
Mm.
Because at the beginning, because I just don't believe it. Just people who just go to church, I go and see the reading and singing. I go, you know, there's excitement bringing you there. But now it's like more challenging for me because I want to know the truth about Jesus Christ. And more, and this can help me personally, for me, I believe, and for my family, and for all the people. So it's a challenge because there's a lot of things like words that I don't know. I had to look at a dictionary, as I have a dictionary in my iPhone.
Okay, later on I'll share more precious and good resources for you to overcome the challenges in studying God's Word. That's why we have this. Many people, when people are hungry, they'll give them a fish, but I see that if I can teach people the fish, even if I'm not around, they can still get the food. So I'll teach you that I learn from others. So, how about Jessica?
I think group Bible study, a lot of times you can get more depth, because a lot of times when you are studying by yourself, it's only like kind of one way thing. You absorb it, and then this is just how you feel. But then when you have group Bible study, when other people share about their experiences and how they perceive it, then you say, oh, you know, I never thought about that, and, you know, the way that they look at it, and how do they apply that to their own life, and say, hey, you know, I can apply that to my life too. So group Bible study is more rich, and it's more diversified.
Okay, very good. Vincent, anything to add?
Both are challenging, I think. Number one obstacle is time.
Time? Oh, okay.
The more time you spend, the better it is.
Yeah. Fast food can only serve stuff your stomach. It might not be necessarily the best for you, right? And it takes time to prepare good food and eat good food. Okay. Ray, anything to add? Any thoughts about personal Bible study and also group?
I think group Bible study provide more more entertainment value, because it's easier and more fun. Personal study actually is, to me, is the more fundamental in terms of building your faith and learning, getting close to God. That part of it. If we don't have a personal Bible study, it's really hard to grow just by group Bible study. In terms of knowing God and knowing the truth and have the conviction. Because we only hear what people say if we only in a group setting. In spite of Howard Hendricks, if you listen to him, if you don't experience yourself, it's hard to put a stamp in your mind. Because you listen to him today, and a year later listen to somebody else, and you believe that person, right? So I think sooner or later we have to get into our own little world. That's where you build yourself. And that's how I learn some of those precepts, is by doing it on my own in a private setting, whether it be listening or studying yourself. That's my own experience.
Okay. Yeah, I agree with what you said. I see there are benefits to personal Bible study. It's like having a daytime with your spouse. You need to have some first-handed experience when you were dating, even with your girlfriend. You don't want to hear from other people about your your girlfriend, but you want to go on a date with, you will not ask someone, go have a date with my girlfriend and tell me how that went, right? first person, like dating with God through personal Bible study. But when we have group Bible study, I see that we can share some of the personal, intimate experience with Christ, and also through that we can build friendship. Of course, some insights that other people have observed based on guidance by God, their own personal studies, and also their own insights based on proper Bible studies. That can also encourage us, and then we take it home and then go personal, help us to get deeper with Christ on a personal level, and also keeps us accountable as well when we are in a group. Maybe I'll ask you once in a while during our class time, how's your relationship with Christ? Okay, if you're on your own, sometimes you can become lazy without people keeping you accountable. Okay. We're done. So let's have a closing prayer for today's lesson, and then we'll continue next time. Okay? I'd like to ask Chris to close today's lesson with a prayer.
Dear Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for this day again and bringing us all together. Pastor Johnny for starting this induction Bible study, and help us learn and grow closer to you, and please help us guide us in our journey and our studies of your word. And just please keep us in your heart and guide us. In your son's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.